This is Burnership, the podcast where we kind of discuss business and how business owners and entrepreneurs kind of took that leap about what they're doing in their business. So go ahead and introduce yourself and your company, and we'll get into it.
Cool. Yeah. My name is Brianna Carney. I'm co-founder of Crew Bloom. I guess that's about it. I feel pretty lucky to do what I do every day.
Cool. What's Crew Bloom do?
Yeah. So we are disrupting the outsourcing offshoring space. So think of a time when you called a call center, got connected with someone outside the U.S. and it was just terrible, right? Like they couldn't speak English. It was the worst. So we just set out to raise the bar. So we are rejecting 98% of folks. So my team speaks better English than I do, just highly instinctual. And they're on average 70% less than what you'd pay someone to do the same work onshore in the U.S.
Nice. How did you get into this?
Yeah, good question. So I was at Amazon before, and that's kind of where the seed was planted. And in fact, leveraging folks offshore in lower costing economies just kind of makes sense. Mm-hmm. But our competition hadn't really hit the ball out of the park in terms of workplace culture and human centric work environments. And so we just set out to do better.
Yeah. So we're well aware of the offshore calling in the merchant services industry, because all of the big merchant services are use offshore, and it is exactly the problem that you're trying to solve, that it's a bad customer experience. And you just go over there, and it's sometimes it's hard to, there's a language barrier. And then they're not that knowledgeable about the industry in general. So they feel, you know, when they get off the phone, they're left with more questions than they had when they went in. But that's what we kind of MP Group, you know, and this is not necessarily scalable, but it is with a company like yours, because then you can, you know, hire a company like yours to help you with those customer service inbound calls. But we handle 95% of our calls under our roof here in Atlanta, Georgia. But when you reach that 15, 20, 30,000 member, or you can't do that. You know, you have to outsource it. So what do you, I saw on your website too, that you're not only recruiting outsource, you're not only recruiting outsourced call centers, you're also recruiting outsourced sales.
Yep. Yeah. So I would say 70% of our revenue is generated from sales and 30% from support. So we're really excited to be helping and empowering companies to drive more revenue and grow through sales.
What is the vertical in those sales? Is this kind of a smorgasbord, or are you in one particular vertical in the sales market?
Yeah, so our technical marketing team focuses on SaaS companies, but it's pretty well distributed through a number of different verticals. We have MarTech, FinTech, Health Tech. I think the common denominator between all of our clients is that they have proven established sales and support processes and are just in need of the human capital to kind of scale up.
Nice.
Yeah.
Makes sense. So you said the industries are tech specific. Where do you meet those people?
Yeah, great question. So we do a number of things. So obviously the more inbound organic leads that we can convert, the better. But we do have a sales team. Yeah, of course. We have a sales team. We do LinkedIn automation. I mean, there's a number of things that we do to get in front of folks. But I would say that we have an internal team that looks for companies that are hiring. So we go on Indeed or Craigslist, look up a job ad, and then reach out to them and say, hey, look, I'm calling you right now from the Philippines. It's 3 a.m. Isn't my English good enough? I'm confident I can do this job. What would it take? You know?
Sure.
How big is your team?
The core of our business is right around 35 with technical folks.
And how many is that as sales is trying to get you more clients internally?
So our ops team, SDRs, and then our SDMs, give or take 15. Awesome. 12, actually now, yeah, because we're doing a number of things to reduce the ops dependency, just like sourcing leads and buying some opportunities.
You do a lot of LinkedIn stuff. Is that what they do?
So we do. So lead gen's like a difficult, just like to be honest with you, it's a tough space. Yeah. Contact info. So we are dependent on Seamless.ai. That's our contact tool provider. But like Zoom Info, I know, is another one. There's a number of them. But yeah, we're like a tool dependent. Unless we're looking reaching out to like I guess a Google search, restaurants or hairdressers. If we need to find qualified decision makers, direct cell phone numbers, it's going to be tool dependent.
It's called tool dependent?
Seamless. She uses the same thing we use.
That's right. Oh, it's cool. It's cool. It's tool dependent with all seamless, the tools that you are using. Seamless.
We use the same thing there. I wanted to ask what is the makeup? Like, are you doing more hunting for the individuals that are providing the support or more hunting for the businesses in need of support?
So, the majority of our workforce, because then I have contractors out in the field. So there's like over 150 of them just like out. It's a lot of them. They just work for our clients. So the 35 folks, that's just my core team. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So the majority of my core team is sourcing new client opportunities, ways to convert new business. But then the folks that are working for our client partners, it's greatly varied. So everything from like sourcing and scoring, warming, appointment setting, all the way through demo execution, account management, and upsell.
Oh, cool.
What's your goal? Is your goal just to grow where you are right now? Or are you going to get into a different space? Tell me some of your goals.
Yeah, good question. So I think when we look at what we want to accomplish, it's to get as many qualified, top caliber global professionals in roles that they love to do. And so whatever it takes to get that done. Right now, we're focused on automation. So we are developing a product and a tool that's going to empower us to screen candidates far more robustly than what we're able to now. Because if you think about like the volume of leads that we're scoring, last January, we had right around 800 inbound applicants. This January, 4,600. And that's a lot of folks to go through. And so if we can integrate tools that will automate the scoring of those applicants, we'll be in a better position. So that's today and tomorrow and for the foreseeable future through Q2. And then implementation MMP, there's just a lot. Our hands are full.
That's awesome. I know you're in New York, and I just want to kind of understand the atmosphere right now in the city and Brooklyn and Manhattan and all the five boroughs. Like, are people out and about at all? Are you going to restaurants? Are you going out and doing networking, or is everybody just still like kind of buckled down and in their own space and not going outside?
Good question. So I think I'm obviously safe and responsible. I got the first shot of the vaccine now, so I feel like a little bit more comfortable. But I don't think there's I definitely haven't been to a face-to-face networking event since COVID. I just go out for runs. To be honest, I've always worked remotely. My life hasn't radically changed, and I feel fortunate. But I definitely say people across the board in New York are bearish about social interaction in comparison to pre-COVID.
Oh, I'm sure. Because you were really the first ones to get hit. And in Georgia, we were like still going out, and then it locked down, and then it went easy, and then it's locked down again. But it's been a pretty easy breezy state compared to all the rest of the states. But it was a challenge for us because we weren't remote. You know, we were a B2B face-to-face networking business. So we had to, come up with this podcast, come up with some virtual, networking, the MP Group Presents and things like that to drum up business and keep moving, because you can do one of two things. You can throw your hands up and not work anymore. You can find inventive ways to do things. It sounds like you guys were already kind of virtual, reaching out to all your different countries to try to get your applicants, and then your other guys were also your sales guys were also virtual, reaching out to the companies that need these applicants. Correct?
Precisely. Yeah, we didn't see a dramatic change in our day-to-day workflow. But again, it was hard across the board. I think for us, it was just really important to kind of exhale the leadership team to all kind of be on the same page that there's a lot going on outside of work right now as well. So we just have to kind of bring more empathy to the table than previously.
Are you guys using, do you guys use like bots for customer service, and do y'all implement that for your clients too? Or is it all, hey, I'm picking up the phone and somebody's answering it with a really good, there's no language barrier. Are you guys using bots and stuff like that too?
Yeah, great question. So when we look at bots and human dependency, so we believe internally ourselves, we have an automation team now that only oversees Zapier and making sure that our processes are I guess, fit for the modern, I mean, is right. It's like bots and AI and machine learning is the way of the future. However, that also being said, I think there is always going to be some dependency on a human connection and interaction. And so I would say that a number of our client partners, in particular, when we look at things such as email and chat support, are highly bot dependent, but a number of our workflows and processes haven't integrated bots whatsoever, and both environments we're excited to work alongside.
Well, the reason I ask you that is because I know you said you were with Amazon, and I literally today was looking at my account because I needed to take something back, and it was that they just do such a good job with their bot and their AI of the answers, and they know what you just looked at, and they go, is this the question you have? And you could tell it's a bot, but then when they couldn't answer the question, they go, we're going to have somebody call you. What's your phone number? And it rang within, you know, probably 20 seconds. It was insane how fast it is. And I'm sure you picked up a lot of that at Amazon.
Yeah. I was pretty fortunate to spend some time there.
What were some other, you know, the technology, the startup community has been a big part of the people that I've kind of aligned myself with in that community continue to learn. Both from a sales aspect, from a technology aspect, from an entrepreneurship standpoint, what were some of the things that were kind of a mentor to you, you know, both within Amazon as well as I'm sure that technology community, I'm sure you have some other business people in your circle. Who are those people and kind of what were some of the stuff that they taught you that you brought with you to your business?
Yeah, good question. So I think it's really important. So there's two, obviously, aspects of growing a SaaS company and driving valuation. I think first and foremost, you need to have really good folks working alongside you, and you need to be really honest with yourself about where you're at as a leader and where you need to be. And then the technical aspects, I guess, are, I, for lack of a better term, like you just have to like throw stuff on the wall and see what sticks. I mean, there's just really so much. And as entrepreneurs, we have to accept being generalists, right? Like I only have so many hours in each day. I only have so many cells in my brain. And although folks like Elon Musk are shooting rockets up into space and catching them in nets, right? Like I have to accept that I will never be able to draft synchronous APIs in Vue JavaScript. It's just not going to happen. But if I can find folks that are better than myself, I'll be in a better position. So I think, just surrounding myself with really smart people, not letting my ego get in the way, asking questions that may have seemed silly or ridiculous, and just doing whatever it took to protect the livelihood of my business, I think was kind of my main takeaway from Amazon.
Which is, that's an awesome comment because you bring up Elon Musk, and I don't even know if that guy's really human or not. I mean, as you take entrepreneurs, you know, I've worked a lots and lots and lots of 70-hour weeks, 75-hour weeks, and I don't run a car company, Anna, and SpaceX as well. So I don't see how he does what he does during the day. So I cannot compare myself to him at all as an entrepreneur, and I'm not going to even start. So I'm with you. Let's get the guys and the girls that can do that, and we just keep trucking and doing what we're doing.
Of course, yeah.
You got anything else?
No, I mean, I think I got a pretty good understanding of what you do. I mean, I think I'm more interested in kind of what your view is of entrepreneurship. I mean, you learned so much before you kind of, you know, burned the ship, took the dive into what your business is. How long has Crew Bloom been around?
Yeah, of course. Great question. So we're almost at year 5 now. I went to school for entree science, so I've always kind of known that I wanted to kind of branch out and be on my own. What was the second part of the question?
Well, that's just what it was. I mean, we want to take a highlight of what you're selling and what your business is, and really, you know, use that as the foundation of who you are. But that entrepreneurial journey is very important to us, and it seems that you had a very strong foundation and understanding before you took that move into, you know, really deciding what your business was. I guess my question was, is, you know, what was it that made you want to take that leap into entrepreneurship? What was it that made you want to burn the ship in the first place?
Oof, that's a great question. So I would say that I'm really just a lucky person, right? Like I'm just really lucky. I just have a really, really incredibly supportive father.
I think that makes one of us on this call. So total.
No,
well, I can tell you right now, I've only talked to you for probably 20 minutes now. Is that what it is? And I know you're not lucky. The The definition of lucky is where preparation meets opportunity, and you're not a lucky person. You're just prepared and you're willing to do it. I could tell it right now. So
perhaps maybe you're being a little generous, but I'm lucky in terms of a number of things that were gifted to me out of my control, right? Mm-hmm. Like I was born into a supportive family that helped me out. And I guess I'm not a genius, but I'm not dumb. And I'm really good at finding smart folks and getting them to believe in what I'm trying to accomplish. So I think that when you become an entrepreneur, you have to accept and confront that like ego is on the line. Like everyone knew I was starting a business. You put everything that you have into it, right? Like when I moved to New York, I just traveled Europe for a year. I was like really poor. I was like collecting cans, trying to do what it took. My friends would be like partying down at Ultra and I'd be like just kind of trying to like draft business plans, you know? And that's what it takes. I think then you kind of reach a point, I guess, to be honest with you, it was probably right around 18 months ago where I started to take a salary and I kind of felt I could exhale and we were over that hump of fragility and we'd live to see a couple more days. And so I think that, there's just a lot, like you care about your life so much more when you're on an entrepreneur. If you're like in a job, like I always like think that I'm like, gosh, wouldn't it be great to just take a vacation? Like I would just love like, you know, to just have a job that I could just show up at and just like kind of be half in, half out, like lukewarm vibes. But the reality is that when you're an entrepreneur, the highs are just so much higher and the lows are so much lower. And for whatever reason, it just kind of keeps you going.
Yeah, it's funny. I did an entrepreneur talk at a local high school here, and I guess I was one of the last to go. And I wasn't around any of the other entrepreneurs or business owners, the local business owners here that were doing the, it was just me in there. But the question was, why did I start my own company? I was like, I just always wanted to, but, I wanted to be, in charge of my finances and how much money I make. And I didn't want to, get raises every year. I wanted to be able to do that myself. And I wanted to have financial freedom. And the teacher goes, well, most people say they wanted the time freedom, and I just started dying laughing. And I go, well, that's just a funny, funny, funny thing, because you don't have time freedom. If you want to be super successful, you're a slave to the clock. And the people that just take vacations and get off early are not going to be in business long. That's just how it is. So if you guys want to be an entrepreneur and you want to be, you know, very, very successful, you don't work 60 hours, then start your own company and work 45. It's just not how it happens. It's not how it does.
I just like, if my like if I was like a young person, if I wanted to do whatever it took to prepare for entrepreneurship, I probably like every four times my girlfriends were having like a sleepover, I'd like sit out just so I could like help, confront FOMO. Cause like the amount of times where like I ever like my girlfriends are just like posting an Insta story at brunch and I'm like trying to get out like this report again.
I had another question for you too. We use seamless.ai as well. And it's a product that we've only really been exposed to since like January.
Yeah, we're new to it.
Something like that. And I'm pretty good. I'm pretty good at you know, collecting the data. I wanted to know if you had any pointers for us as far as, you know, anything that you guys are doing to utilize that data and how you guys are making it work for your business as well. Cause it seems something that's been very vital. If that is something that we could kind of replicate in our business, that would be incredible. So I'm wondering how you guys are using that. How are you guys kind of attacking that data that you're pulling from Seamless?
And we went through, but you know, just a second part, we went through so many, like you said, tools that didn't do a good job.
Yeah. And it's so strange that you have the same one that we use now that we're just now beginning to be happy with.
Yeah. We went through a half a dozen or a dozen that just didn't do well. And then we found that one, and it's been working
like three
far.
In December.
Yeah.
We were trying to find so much data out, so many options.
Do you guys, what CRM are you using?
Pipedrive.
Pipedrive. Okay, great. So I think they have an API.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. One of the things that we implemented for the sales team, and again, like my sales manager is the best. So we have an ops team that only sources scores and qualifieds opportunities for the SDRs to reach out to. And so they are extracting a number of data metrics from every lead. So we're looking at annual revenue, company size, and then based off of what those metrics are and how they pull into HubSpot, we'll automatically score that lead like 1, 2, 3, or 4. And then based on that score is how it'll be given priority in their task flow for that day. Because I think we have to recognize like what's the most profitable, promising, exciting opportunity and what makes and qualifies it as that. And Seamless has a lot of data at your disposal, like annual revenue metrics, acquisitions, rounds of funding. And so I would just like leverage all that. I would just like spend a day like playing around with the filters on Seamless.
Do you pull data from Seamless or do you pull data from LinkedIn?
Both.
Okay. Yep. Okay. I think LinkedIn's a little faster because I think the page size is bigger, but I think Seamless is a little more specific.
It is, but if you pull the data, but I'm sure because of this Pipedrive, you could, if with one click, now it's a lead in Hub in Pipedrive, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And LinkedIn doesn't have that integration.
Yeah. That's why we don't have the Pipedrive integration doesn't work right now because all you have is that basically that spreadsheet, that exportable spreadsheet. Which we use, I mean, for email marketing and call marketing for like specific industry in a geographical area, you know, specific industry size. It's been really, really good, but there's it's another one. I mean, there's so 70, 80 columns.
You're using HubSpot as your CRM. Mm-hmm. So if HubSpot has more calls to Seamless, is that what we're saying? That they might have more calls that they can do more?
Pipedrive has the same thing. It's just when you pull the data from LinkedIn, the way that we're doing it now, it doesn't automatically add that as a lead in Pipedrive. If you pull the data from Seamless, it automatically adds it as a lead in Pipedrive.
Understand, yeah.
But you can only do 10 at a time, like 10 per click where I can do 25 at a time on LinkedIn. So it's exponentially faster to do it through LinkedIn because their interface is a little better. Mm-hmm. I think the Seamless, it has more of those hooks.
See, Brianna, this is what you said. We let people do the job that I don't have enough time to do, but he's getting better at it. But I turned him on to a mentor and I was like, he says this works great. And then we went and did it. And we literally went through 4 or 5 before that. And we're like, these are not good. They're just not good.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's a dirty business. Mm-hmm. We've had so many revenue opportunities for getting qualified contact info. And it's just, we won't go there because we're still looking at about an 85% contact accuracy, maybe even closer to 80, which isn't great for that's like 1 out of 5 is a wrong number.
But that's better than it used to be even. When we were pulling data, you know, 10 years ago, you might pull it and it'd be 50 or 60% accuracy. I mean, it was really bad. And they were $2 an email. They were just expensive. So now they've come down a little bit. And if you have a good provider on the data, they replace those 15% that were not good. So, you know, it has gotten better, but you do have to replace that data. You can't a year later, it's not good or a lot of it's not good.
Yeah. One thing that I do like about
Seamless. She's like rolling her eyes. She goes, I get it. I know.
Seamless has that ability to save a search. So we have like 15 searches in there in LinkedIn with specific filters. Exactly. So CPAs in the Atlanta area that are, you know, solopreneurs, 1 to 10 or 10 to 50 in their firm that are doing X amount in revenue. Mm. We have that search saved. So we go in there like once a month and we pull all the new ones and they float to the top that you haven't pulled before from Seamless. So they're easily accessible. So keeping those lists up to date, something that Seamless does really well. Mm-hmm. But I just got to keep playing with the tool, man. I've spent a lot of time in there as well, but I haven't spent a lot of time in the Seamless interface trying to pull data from there. I got to play around with it some more, but
sounds like you need to talk to her sales manager.
Yeah, for sure.
Too, because he's he or she's probably you know, got her finger on the pulse.
Yeah,
or him on the pulse a little more than obviously I do.
Yeah, I might follow up with you on that actually.
Absolutely, I'm happy you can connect with anyone on the ops team. We can just screen share and just kind of walk you through what we're up to. Then you and I feel like we could have some best practice exchange.
Awesome. Sure. Well, it was great speaking with you. I'm glad I got to meet you. I'm glad I got to learn about your business. Before we leave, is there anything that we can bring to you? Any of our listeners, watchers, can bring to you as a referral? Somebody you're looking for?
Of course. So anyone that's hiring sales or support folks, we have a really exciting affiliate program. So if I close someone at a $10 an hour price point, I'll give you $1.50 for every hour logged. And yeah, our website, www.crewbloom.com, C-R-E-W, bloom like the flower, B-L-O-O-M. Social media, again, add me on LinkedIn. I'm super happy to be a resource in any way possible. And most importantly, just good vibes all around you. Thanks.
Thank you. Thank you. All right, we're off. Everybody, be kind to each other out there.